Hello and welcome to the Buck Stops here. I'm Barkha Dutt. The big political debate tonight. A controversy after Asad Owaisi, the MIM leader, alleges that not enough cash is being disbursed after demonetization in Muslim neighborhoods. The BJP is calling this deplorable communalism. Is this communal politics or a real digital divide? That'll be a big focus on the program tonight. But also, how volatile an issue demonetization has become is reflected in these pictures that you see on your screen. That's the RBI Governor Urjit Patel at the Kolkata airport, being shown black flags and heckled by Congress workers, security trying to keep both these protesters and the media away from him, as Urjit Patel shown black flags and literally stalked by those Congress workers holding up placards and heckling the governor as he took a flight out of West Bengal. Earlier, the Trinamool Congress too protesting outside the RBI headquarters. So the big political debate on the Buck Stops here tonight, when Asaduddin Owaisi talks about there not being enough cash in Muslim areas, is he playing a hand of dangerous communal politics or is he pointing to a real digital divide? The demonetization debate has now been overtaken by the discrimination debate, with West Bengal Chief Minister Mamata Banerjee also making the allegation that her state is being discriminated against, this on a day when she met with the RBI governor. Let's introduce our panel. On the panel today, Asad Owaisi of the MIM is with us. Sambit Patra of the BJP is with us. With me in the studio, Professor Rakesh Sinha, who's of course a historian and RSS ideologue. Also joining me is Abid Rasool. He's the chairman of the Telangana State Minorities Commission. And also joining me is T.K. Uman. He's a sociologist and of course has been a part of that Satcher Commission that is so often quoted to talk about the socio-economic backwardness of the minorities of India. I'll start with you, Asad Owaisi. You have, of course, made a passionate defense of your position, saying that this is not communal. This is simply underlining a known fact. But to bring it up at this time, doesn't it make it sound like you are suggesting that the government is deliberately keeping away cash from minority areas, from Muslim areas, whereas three banks have in fact written to Abid Rasool's commission and said this is nonsense. The same amount of cash is being disbursed in, for example, the Muslim areas of Hyderabad as in other areas of Greater Hyderabad. So on what basis have you made the claim that you have?
No, the first reply to the bank statement would be that the banks are completely misleading the Mr. Abid Rasool Khan. I can give you specific names of areas called Dabilpura, Talab Katta, Yakutpura, Bada Bazaar, Falak Numa.
Yes.
And I would request these banks' chairman or who is going to reply to come with me and stand there and see, because from last 15 days, all these ATMs are closed. Secondly, Barkha, you say the timing.
Yes.
You know, Barkha, this is the time people are suffering, because it's a known fact, the two RBI reports, the World Bank report, the census data, the MSME ministry data clearly says that majority of the Muslims depend on their livelihood through cash. And secondly, when you have data which says that they're not getting loans, the banks are not there. So you can very well imagine, I accept that there is a scarcity of cash.
Yes.
Thanks to the Modi government.
Yes.
But when you have these outsourcing companies who go and distribute cash in all in ATMs, my party people have followed them. Barkha, you can ask your correspondent that areas where you have enough ATMs, areas which have high deposits, cash in ATMs is put in that area first. Let me give a classic example. People living in Jama Masjid area come to Cannaught Palace. People living in Okhla go to different place. And that is why I have made that statement.
But let me interrupt you here.
And basing on data, Barkha, last point. The priority sector lending of, you know, the news of March 13, 2016 in Times of India, written by Muhammad Wajiuddin,
yes,
says that Muslims get only 2% in priority sector lending. So when this is the case, how can you expect these banks to put in cash in ATMs over there?
Asad Owaisi, let me interrupt you here and ask you a direct question. The fact is that when your speech was first reported, the Jagran.com that initially reported your speech suggested that you were accusing the government of deliberately keeping away cash from Muslim areas. That is a very different allegation from saying that there are Muslim neighborhoods where, in any case, to start with, there were fewer ATMs. So the two comments are very, very different, and you must clarify which one are you saying. No.
Barkha, I have made my first point. Now you are asking me a second question.
Yes.
I don't know what Jagran has written.
Okay.
But isn't it a responsibility of the government of the day, when you have various reports which identifies you marginalized section areas, you have 100 minority concentration districts, you have more than 300 minority blocks. Now the public sector banks are duty bound to ensure that those areas which rely on cash economy, you have to send in cash over there first, which they have not done so far.
Okay, I need to bring in Sambit Patra. I think you've had your say. Sambit Patra, the fact of the matter is that there are some people who say this is communal politics. There are others who will say this is a very realistic digital divide that it actually exists on the ground, and it predated the demonetization announcement.
As far as your statement that there is a digital divide in India is concerned, well,
yes,
that merits at least a debate, that merits at least a hearing.
Yes.
But when you cast this digital divide into a communal cast, into a communal angle, that's
yes,
what is deplorable.
Yes.
In the sense that Mr. Owaisi, who is a leader, who is a member of parliament, he does not represent a religion.
Yes.
He represents people of all hue and color. He represents people who are marginalized. He represents people who are poor. They may be Hindu or they may be Muslim. So if Mr. Owaisi would have said, marginalized people in my constituency are facing problem, we would not have objected. But when he says that the Muslims in my community, the Muslims in my constituency are segregated, and the government sees to it that the money does not reach the Muslim, we would say this is clear-cut communal issue. Number two, my question to Mr. Owaisi, because I've heard the whole speech of Mr. Owaisi.
Yes.
The speech begins by saying that the government did not open banks in the Muslim areas.
Yeah.
The banks, even if they exist in the Muslim area, it is declared as a red zone. Loans cannot be taken.
Yes.
Now, my question to Mr. Owaisi is, Mr. Owaisi, you have been a parliamentarian and a person who represents area in Hyderabad since long. How many banks did you open in these Muslim majority areas? None of you worked overtime, because banks do not crop up in 3 months or 4 months. It's a long-term procedure. Naturally, a history of 60 or 65 years would be taken into consideration when I bring in this view. My question to all the Muslim member of parliaments, because you are considering this as a Muslim-Hindu issue, Muslim member of parliament and you in particular, have you and your legislators, like your MLAs in other states, work to see to it that in all the years that you were in UPA, remember, for 10 long years, you were supporting the UPA government. Did you work to see to it that banks were opened in these Muslim majority area? You did not, because then you were saying Muslims should not come into the banking system. That is un-Islamic. Today, suddenly you are saying Muslims are deprived of the banking system. So you have to decide what you really want.
Okay, I'll allow Asad Owaisi a brief interjection there, and then we'll open up.
Can I reply to Sampit?
Yes.
Now Sampit is completely ignorant. He should tell his staff to do a good research on the questions I've asked on the financial inclusion of Muslims. Sampit, please allow me to say that again you're ignorant, that your government has started Islamic banking, and you are accusing me of saying un-Islamic. Thirdly, Sampit, please go through the Ministry of Minority Standing Committee on Ministry of Social Empowerment.
The government later said there is no need. Asad, I want to clarify that. The government later clarified that there was no need for Islamic banking, and they would emphasize on financial inclusion instead. I just want to clarify, because you said the government has started Islamic banking.
No. Yes.
Then a clarification came later from the government. I just want to put the record straight. Yes.
Okay. I am making this statement based on what Mr. Sareshwala had said.
Okay.
Now, thirdly, Sampit says there are many MPs, non-Muslim MPs also have asked this question to the government. Can Sampit tell me in 2.5 years, how many banks have you opened in marginalized areas? Sampit, I have quoted the 2015 RBI 2 reports to you.
I'll answer that.
The MSME Ministry report.
Yes.
Sampit, it is your record of 2.5 years which I am asking. Your record is that you are not able to give Muslims, priority sector lending,
but
only
2%. Are you imputing a motive,
your
Mr.
record
Oasi?
Is...
Are you imputing a motive or a bias? I think that's the question. The question is, it becomes a communal
Barkha,
question
just
when
Barkha,
you impute
Barkha,
a motive. Barkha, are you imputing
Barkha,
a motive?
Barkha, whether... Barkha, when it comes to Congress or BJP, when it comes to empowerment, both are equally to be blamed. That is the mindset.
Okay, I want to open this up, Sambit. I'll come back to you. I want to bring in Rakesh.
Barkha,
Sinha.
I'll just okay, take 10 seconds.
Set.
Barkha,
okay,
with your permission, just
okay,
10 seconds.
Okay, go ahead.
Just 10 seconds.
Okay.
Since he said that, look, you can easily see how Mr. Oweisi has suddenly amended his statement. Because
yeah.
Today, he does not use the word Muslim too often. He says marginalized. How many banks your government has opened in the marginalized sector? Had he asked this question, we would have answered that. We would have loved to answer that.
Hmm.
But when he says, how many banks in the Muslim areas, that is what is scathing. And secondly, Mr. Oweisi, the answer is, we were the first government after 70 years of independence to include 25 crore people in the banking system. Guinness Book of World Record was created because of this.
Okay, now I need to move on. The fact of the matter is, let's not get lost in rhetoric, Rakesh Sinha. We have the data, and the data indeed does point to the fact that the access or the bank accounts that the Muslims of India have in banks, whether public sector or private sector, is lower than their population percentage, right? Now, that is a statistical fact. So if Asad Oweisi is also bringing up this as a dimension of the demonetization debate, that therefore minorities are suffering more, not from motive or intent, but because there is already this problem, why would you call that communal?
Before coming to that, you see in secular democracy, two letters, M and P.
Yes.
They have, it has a very significance in democracy. And Oweisi is a member of parliament.
Yes.
He's an MP.
Yes.
And he does not represent a separate electorate. He has not been elected by
but
a separate
electorate. But he's not saying he's representing
no.
a separate electorate.
No, no, no.
We can go to
all
Oweisi,
the
yes.
all the time, he uses all the opportunities in secular democracy
yes.
to communalize the things and polarization.
No,
and
what
this,
is this, Mr. Oweisi
no,
said?
No,
if
no,
we can
no,
bring
no,
him up, please.
No,
what
no,
has he said that is an example
no,
of polarization?
This is the polarization that he is saying that in the Muslim-dominated areas,
yes.
there is a cash crunch in the deliberate
no,
cash crunch.
No, he is saying that they have always had less
no,
access
I'm,
to bank, the banking system
I'm coming
when
to,
compared
Barkha,
to
I'm
their
coming,
percentage
I'm
of the part
I
of the
don't dispute. I don't dispute, but I'm coming to that. This is a communal politics. Heads, I win. Till you lose. You just see, the demand for the Islamic banking is based on the fact that Muslims don't go to the system, financial systems which are based on interest taking, interest giving. And the Indian financial banking system is based on the interest.
Yes.
So Muslims don't go to the bank. This is the representation given by Mr. Oweisi himself. Said in 2009, he said, and I'm quoting the front line, in that he said that I'm bringing a private member bill on the Islamic bank. So question of Islamic bank is based on the fact that Muslims avoid the banks which are mainstream banks. And
so
I'm giving you that springs
from their own religious beliefs.
Let me give the data. In 44 minority concentrated districts,
yes.
where there are 32% Muslims,
yes.
32% Muslims,
yes.
their bank accounts, their bank access is 21% in government banks, public sector banks, and 20% in the private sector banks. While 2% minorities, other minorities than Muslims, they have 5% in the private sector, public
yes.
sector banks, and 15% in the private sector
okay.
banks. So I think
what is
that
your point? Why is my, that?
My
whose
point,
fault
my,
is that?
My point is that there are Muslim cooperative banks in different areas. In Pune, there is a Muslim cooperative bank.
Yes.
There is Jamia, in Batla House, there is a Muslim cooperative bank, 8 ATMs. In Pune, there are 25 branches. There is no complaint by the Muslim cooperative banks that in their ATM, there is a crunch of the cash. This has been distributed.
Okay.
Second important
yeah,
point.
Second, just to enlighten
Mr. Oweisi, in 44 Muslim concentrated areas, there are 44 banks, lead banks. Every lead bank has one officer concentrating on the Muslims. So this is not the question of Congress and BJP. I think in secular democracy, every government is trying to uplift the empower the marginalized.
Okay,
and Muslims
let me,
are not
let me quickly ask him that, and then we'll get the data breakdown from Professor Uman. Asad Oweisi, I think the question is, people, you could say people are suffering. You could say there is an economic divide. You could say the poor are going through greater hardship than you and me, who have credit cards and debit cards. Why are you emphasizing the religious identity of the hardship? Why does money now have a religious color?
Barkha, for me, money is not a Lakshmi or God. So let us understand that first. Secondly, let me remind Mr. Rakesh Sinha, it is not 44, it is 90 MCDs. You have more than 900 minority constituency blocks. Mr. Rakesh Sinha, please read the two RBI
reports.
I am
talking of the 44 districts, not blocks. I am talking 44 districts that is a selective data by the frontline. I am quoting frontline, that is 23rd October 2009.
Okay,
I am not quoting any organizer and
participant.
Mr. Oasi, you always communalize. I am saying that why you are demanding the Islamic Bank. The reason is that you Sharia compliance bank, a non-Sharia compliance bank. There is a difference.
Bolle to dijiye. Asad, please, I have to go on to the other. So please make your point brief, Asad Oweisi. Yes.
Barkha, when you have empirical data staring in front of you, Sachar Committee, Mishra Commission, RBI report, are all those reports communal? What I am asking for? Am I asking for stars from the sky? I am saying open more banks.
Okay.
Why did Modi go to Saudi Arabia and agree to Islamic banking? Did I tell him to do it?
No, you didn't.
Why
no.
did Zafar Sareshwal announce it?
Barkha, so it are you going to oppose Islamic bank?
It is your
there
man
will be
who,
more public
who,
sector banks if you oppose Islamic bank.
Your party.
No, why are you demanding
who
Islamic,
wants Islamic bank?
Mr. Oweisi, you have to respond to the
right.
You have to say
have
the viewers of NDTV.
Members bill.
Why do you want Islamic bank? What is the reason? What is the reason behind that?
Because you are ignorant.
I am not ignorant.
Like
I can give lecture
France,
on Islamic bank for
Britain,
hour.
Britain, Singapore, and US have started Islamic banking.
I want to know the theoretical position.
There is a huge potential for
I am not
India
asking which country has Islamic
that infrastructure
bank.
Is
what is your theoretical position
cannot,
about Islamic bank?
I cannot.
You are not a Muslim
you,
leader.
But
you are a Muslim. Muslim community is not a monolithic community.
You are an ignorant man.
I am not
you
ignorant.
Don't
you
know
are
the potential of Islamic banking. Yes.
One minute. I need to move on. Let's not personalize this question. I will come back to this.
No, he has to answer.
He will answer, but I need to move on. I need to move on, and I want Sambit Patra to also clarify once and for all the BJP position on Islamic banking, because there has been a number of confusing media reports. The last one I read said that the government will emphasize financial inclusion and not Islamic banking. But the RBI, there were also reports, had opened a window for Islamic banking. There have been contradictory reports. I want to get Professor Uman in. Who, as a member of the Sachar Commission, sir, can you give us...
One minute.
Professor Uman, please go ahead with the data. The data and what it tells us about the access of minorities and Muslims in particular to the banking system.
Barkha, what we are discussing is
yes.
whether or not the demonetization policy
yes.
has particularly affected a given community here, Muslims. And I don't think anybody has undertaken a survey or a study so as to make an authoritative statement on this. However, one can go back little in history. You referred to the Sachar Committee report of which I was a member.
Yes.
The report was submitted in 206, and we are talking in 216. 10 years have passed, and if I look at that report, there is ample evidence that Muslims as a community, for a variety of reasons, if you want, I'll come to that,
yes.
are certainly put in difficulties even without demonetization. Why?
Yes.
Now we are talking about banks, we are talking about other sources from which you can draw the money.
Yes.
But in order to draw the money, you must have those institutions in the areas where it's predominantly populated by Muslims. Hmm. The first point, therefore, is whether or not the necessary infrastructures are available in Muslim-dominated areas. And mind you, this is not only about in the context of financial transactions.
Yes.
You look at water, you look at education, or any number of such things. In all these, there is utter deficiency in the infrastructures
yes.
of the area, in the areas where Muslims are inhabiting. So the issue did not start on November 8th. It has a long history. And I don't think a particular government has really done something to discriminate against people.
So what I'm hearing you say is that there is no doubt that the infrastructure is an unequal infrastructure, that the socioeconomic indices of the Muslim community, along with many other marginalized communities, is not a level playing field. But there is no empirical data yet to show how this demonetization is playing out on the ground. Maybe somebody who can help us with that is Abid. Yes. Abid Rasool, you have in fact asked the banks for clarification in your capacity as a state minorities commission head. What is your assessment? You have, of course, been a congressman. You are now heading the Minorities Commission. Yes.
Yes. We have, Barkha, received numerous complaints from people who are staying in Hyderabad, Old City, as well as from the district headquarters.
Yes.
And all these complaints, mind you, is not Muslim. They are even Sikh and Christians.
Yes.
And they have complained that they are not even able to eke out their daily living by not having access to the cash and to their bank accounts.
Okay.
And the cultural and the socioeconomic factor is such that most of the Muslims, Dalits and Christians and the Sikh community are involved in day-to-day businesses.
Yes.
And they have absolutely no time to stand in lines and take out the money. And their women folk are not accustomed to the standing in lines for hours together and leaving the children at home. Hmm. So all these together made me ask the banks, what are they doing about it?
Okay.
Surprisingly, about 7 banks, nationalized banks, have come up with the same standard answer.
Which is?
Which does not vary from bank to bank.
Which
is?
Which is what?
And
what is that answer?
Yeah, it says SBI. No, the answer is, what is the amount you are refilling in the ATM? Is it the same in all the areas?
Yes.
What and the period of refilling? And the amount being provided to the branches? And are you taking any special steps to make arrangements for the money to reach the poor and the needy? And surprisingly, all the banks have answered in the same line and said that we are doing everything which is possible and there is no discrimination.
Yes.
But the fact remains that the people today...
Why don't you believe that, sir? If the banks have written... Because to not believe it, Abid Saab, is to imply that there is some deliberate leaving out of some areas. I'm coming to you, Samit, in half a second. I just want to understand why you would not believe the answer of the bank, Mr. Rasool.
Yeah, let me answer, Bakya. I don't directly take it on fact that this is right, because the people who have complained to the commission and who have met me have literally cried. They have said that we are facing harassment. We are standing in line for 7 to 8 hours in a day.
And then I need Mr. Rovesi back. Okay, Samit.
Let me complete it.
I have heard everyone very patiently. Allow me some time to answer, because all the questions are directed to me.
Yes, Samit, go ahead.
Number one, though I respect each of the panelists, including Mr. Ovesi as well as Mr. Rasheed, I'm pained by the fact that Mr. Rasheed also makes out the same case, saying that he's more pained when a Christian or a Muslim cries. See, we should not distinguish between a Hindu crying and a Muslim crying. It's not that the Hindus are crying. I represent the commission, and I am bound to the requirements of the community. Can I please...
Yeah.
Please let me complete, sir. I'll answer that question of yours also.
Yeah.
Number three, quick points that I have to make after listening to you. Number one, the Economist was also making out a point that there is a crunch of infrastructure wherever the Muslims are in large number. This question goes to the Congress Party and Mr. Rasheed himself, who has been in power for a long time in this country, and despite the fact that Muslims, whom they treated as a vote bank, they never provided with the infrastructure. So the question is to the Congress and Mr. Ovesi as well. Secondly, that Mr. Rasheed's statement that the women of Muslims and the minorities are not accustomed, are not used to this kind of transaction of standing in line, and they have some kind of difficulty in dealing with digital money. I believe they are the ones, the Muslim leaders are the ones who have kept away the Muslim community for all these years from developing in a smart way. You should have made the woman folk. You should have made, because your leaders are asking this. Just a second.
This is absurd. You cannot talk like this.
Sir, let me complete.
Let Samit complete his point. Yes. Samit, complete your point. Yeah.
When you say that the Muslims are, you could have easily told the marginalized section is not using the digital way in a smart way. But you chose to say the Muslims are not using the digital way more smart way. I would say you should have taught them. Why are you the leaders of the community? You should have caught hold of their hands and told, come, I'll open your bank account. Let's go, let's have a camp. Mr. Oveshi should have organized camps in his area, which he represents in the parliament, to see to it that more inclusion as
so you're blaming Sambit. Sambit, let me understand what you're saying. Really Sambit, may I clarify what you're saying, and then Mr. Oveshi can answer, and then Rakesh
I'll just take 10 seconds and you'll understand that. I'll just take 10 more seconds and you'll understand that. I'm blaming this so-called Muslim leaders themselves, who for their own personal reasons saw to it that their own community did not develop, or else they would have run away from their hand as a voting community, as a vote bank. And today they are crying faulty. Today they are crying
Oveshi, I think
because
a fair
of their
question
own
here.
Wrongs, they have kept their own community behind.
One minute. Professor Uman, give me half a second. I'll do it step by step. I'll go to Asad Oveshi, Rakesh Sinha, and then Professor Uman. Asad Oveshi, there is a fair question here. And the question is that you can't simultaneously lament the inequality, which clearly statistically does exist. I think that is not in question. There is enough data to prove that Muslims do not have a level playing field when it comes to access to the banking system. So let's not put that in dispute. The BJP or Rakesh Sinha are saying, why have leaders like yourself, instead of encouraging financial inclusion, encouraged a religion-driven banking system like Islamic banking? Why have you not gone in and said, let's more of you open bank accounts? Asad.
Barkha, I reiterate that these people who are making these allegations are ignorant. If they know that in Hyderabad,
this word ignorant is a corporate. Please,
somebody let him speak now.
Please have the patience to hear the truth. Barkha, we run
a
scheduled
bank. That is the wrong word, sir.
Oh my God, sir, you don't like what I say?
What?
Swallow it. Be magnanimous. This is democracy.
They're constantly saying that Rakesh Sinha are ignorant people is not the way of debating, sir. That is the wrong way of put facts. We are hearing you.
Right. And the next time you send me a list of words I should use against you. Now listen to what I have to say.
Okay, let's come back
I run a scheduled bank. Now coming back to debate. There's a scheduled bank called Darussalam Bank.
Yes.
Which has many branches.
Yes.
I have held camps during Jandhan Yojana.
Yes.
Thirdly, two RBI reports, World Bank report, MSME Minister report have come after Jandan accounts. Why don't you read it for God's sake? Last point about the potential of Islamic banking. Read what there is a potential Islamic banking. Yes, I have put a private member's bill, but it is your government, our Prime Minister, Mr. Modi, who went to Saudi Arabia and signed an agreement with a Saudi bank over there. Now you are creating ambiguous statements. There is a huge potential if you bring Islamic banking. We can, you know, the infrastructure development in India can go up. That is why countries like France, which does not allow niqab, but allows Islamic banking. You have countries like Britain. Many universities are running MBA in Islamic banking. Please see the potential for India. Forget about your hatred about Islam. But there's a huge potential. And Barkha, we are doing our utmost best. But we are not in power. You are in power. You are shifting a goalpost, which is the daily habit of BJP.
Isn't it contradictory? And then Rakesh Sinha and TK Oman can come in. Asad, is it not contradictory to both want a greater financial inclusion from Muslims in the regular banking system, but also want a parallel Islamic banking system?
No,
is there not a contradiction in that position?
Listen to me.
Yes.
No, not at all.
Why not?
Not at all.
Why not?
My interest, I'll tell you why. My interest in Islamic banking is that there's a huge potential for India's infrastructure problem to be solved. Yes, you have a minority Muslims who do not take interest, but they open current account. They don't take interest from that bank. Now, if they put their money in Islamic banking, they become partners in infrastructure growth of India. I am saying open banks. I am saying put more cash. I am saying open more accounts.
Yes.
Now, what is new?
Yes.
I mean, what is communal in this?
Okay, I want to read out an Indian Express article since there's a lot of confusion and maybe Sambit can help us, but to Rakesh Sinha. I'm quoting from Indian Express when Prime Minister Modi was in Saudi Arabia. This is the Indian Express. which says that during Prime Minister Modi's trip to Saudi Arabia, the Exim Bank and the Islamic Corporation for the Development of the Private Sector, ICD, which is an arm of the Islamic Development Bank Group, signed an agreement. The IDB later said it would open a branch in Modi's home state of Gujarat. I'm quoting Indian Express. There is a lot of confusion. I think Mr. Owesi is saying, if you're condemning Islamic banking, can the government clarify what is the position? Since then, I have seen another media report where the finance ministry has said Islamic banking is irrelevant. Our emphasis is on financial inclusion.
No, look, it's not a question of confusion. Yes. I think in Indian context, Islamic banks is unacceptable.
Unacceptable.
You have the banking system. You can, and SBI has started the mutual fund, the Sharia compliance mutual fund.
Yes.
In the larger framework of the Indian banking system, you can have.
Yes.
You can put your money in the bank. You don't take your interest. And that interest would be used in the infrastructure. Indian public sector banks are known for welfare programs. Second thing, I'm very categorically clear that the conversion drive will go up.
Yes.
If the Islamic bank comes in India.
Conversion rate
yes.
will go up.
Yes.
You have
in a secular democracy, look, don't laugh, Mr. Owesi. Don't laugh, Mr. Owesi. Don't laugh.
You know,
we have organized 10 seminars.
I have to laugh on this.
Oh, yeah, you laugh. You always laugh on United India. You always laugh on secularism, democracy, and United India. You are heading the legacy of Rajkars. So you have to laugh on India. I'm just saying two things here. But
I would recommend
you are representative of Rajkars.
Rakeshji, when you first said conversion rate, I thought you meant dollar to rupee. Maybe
no.
What do you mean? Why are you linking conversion rates?
I'm telling you, the country like India, the Islamic bank would be the vehicle of large conversion for the poor people. Second thing, that will be a separate debate.
Yes.
Here I am giving you one data.
Yes.
I completely disagree, Mr. Oman, that Muslims are backward, most backward in the country. They are not more backward than the Dalits and the tribals.
Yeah.
I'm quoting legal news and views of Reserve Bank of India.
Yes.
$1.5 trillion Muslim assets in the country, 40,000 crore in Kerala only. Their asset is growing by 15%. This is not the data with the Dalits. This is not the data with the tribals. So kindly don't divide on the economic issues on the common line.
But Rakeshji, the fact that, for example, quotas exist in our country is an acknowledgement that certain castes, right, are more economically backward and socially backward than others. The fact that there are some states pushing economic-based reservation acknowledges that we are not an equal country. And the fact is that there is data to show that Dalits, Muslims, women, you can have many, you, there's an intersectionality of this conversation.
Sure.
How can you deny that? You can't deny the inequities that exist. You can debate the solutions, but you can't deny the inequities.
No. What I say on the economic issues, the
yes.
Hindu and Muslim, the minority categorization is itself dangerous for
yes.
the country. And we have the Constituent Assembly debate, we have a constitution.
Yes.
There is no provision for reservation on the basis of religion.
Okay.
That has been categorically decided
so
by the Constituent
Assembly.
Okay, so I
want to read out another thing.
We are not going to change the constitution on the question of the reservation. And I am quoting Sardar Patel.
Yes.
He said, demanding the reservation
going,
on the basis of religion means dividing
in a
India
second,
again.
But Sambit, I want Sambit to clarify one thing, and then, sorry, Professor Oman, I'm coming to you right after that, because there's a lot of confusion about this Islamic banking. But I want to read out a written reply by the Minister of State for Finance, Santosh Gangwar. He said, the objectives of financial inclusion for which Islamic banking was explored by RBI, so he does acknowledge that it was explored, has no relevance as government has already introduced other means of financial inclusion like Jan Dhan Yojana and so on. He goes on, but there is an acknowledgement that the RBI was proposing the opening of an Islamic window. Sambit, go ahead, then Professor Oman. Sambit, go ahead.
No, number one, stating very categorically over here, Barkha, you know that the premise of this debate is not whether the Islamic banking system
no,
should be brought into India
on
or
that.
Not.
I just wanted clarity on the position.
I will. Give me some time, Barkha.
Yes.
Barkha, you read out the most clear statement.
Yes.
The statement itself which you read out gives the clarity.
Yes.
Now, as far as the premise of this debate is, that Mr. Owesi's statement that Muslim areas, in fact, knowingly the government has supplied less cash so that they become cash crunched and they have pain, is faulted one and is dividing the community in communal lines. This is the premise of the debate. And today, suddenly, when he has been cornered, he's shifting the goal towards Islamic banking system. He was in power for 10 long years. What did he do for the Islamic banking system is something which he should be answering. As far as our government is concerned, you read out the statement, it brings out clarity. Now, Barkha, this is absolutely deplorable that representatives like Mr. Owaisi should divide the marginalized section, leave aside the country, the marginalized section as a Hindu marginalized section and the Muslim marginalized section. This is something which we all have to, in a united way, reject.
Okay. Professor Oman, who's been very politely and patiently waiting, we must bring you in, sir. Do you see a contradiction between asking for Islamic banking and also asking for greater inclusion in the banking system? Though the debate is not on that, but it is coming.
Yeah, not necessarily. You know, what we are discussing in the studio, and I acknowledge my disadvantage of not there.
Yes.
Is not facts, but largely perceptions.
Yes.
Certainly there is a relationship between the two because they mutually influence. Now, this is a country where the large segment, the overwhelming large segment of the economy is in the informal sector. And because of that, the instruments that we are talking about now at the moment are largely irrelevant. If that be so, whether it is Islamic banking or Marwari banking, it doesn't matter. If that instrument can actually bring about what is called financial inclusion. The target is that. The divide about the instrument in this particular context is an ideological and a perceptual divide.
Okay.
To my mind, what is important is to look at the reality squarely on the face and see how can we tackle it.
Okay.
How does it matter whether financial inclusion of the Muslims or the Jews take place through route A or through route B? It doesn't matter. And therefore, our discussion should move in the direction which would be relevant for the overwhelming majority of the population in this country. Thus, as I said,
I think that's a reasonable argument that the method doesn't matter.
Can I just give Abid 30 seconds. In Kerala, there are 5 lead banks for the minority concentrated area.
Yes.
In West Bengal, 10. UP, 13.
Yes.
Bihar, 5.
Yes.
In Hyderabad, 2. In Andhra Pradesh, 2. So there is a lead bank, and I don't discriminate between BJP and the Congress government. All have sincerely have done. There may be some problem in implementing the thing. In democracy, you have the right to contest. But you communalize every time, every issue. When economic issues are communalized, that is the final stage of communalism. You see, before partition.
Final stage of communalism.
Yes, this is the last stage of communalism when it leads to the complete separation. Before the partition, Jinnah eventually let the people that the Muslim and Hindu labor, Muslim and Hindu bankers, Muslim and Hindu peasants. So problems of peasants, problems of labor class is common problem. Except certain problem may you address to a particular community. But
don't we, for example, although all courts have rejected religious-based reservation, but the fact is that we do recognize economic inequities in our reservation policy, don't we? We recognize caste inequities in our reservation policy. So why is it that when you come to religion, you call it communal?
Yes, look, Barkha, the reservation is not merely the economic and social backwardness. It is a historical perspective. The Dalits are historically backward, historically victimized.
Yes.
Muslims are not historically victimized. Being a Dalit in the Constituent Assembly, Oman complete it.
Yeah.
In the Constituent Assembly, the similar thing was raised by J.H. Lari. Then a Dalit leader said, Nagappa, you can't be a Harijan. Being a Harijan, you have to take birth from the Harijan's home. So I think this is not the correct that comparing Dalits and Muslims.
I'll have to take last comments. Everybody gets 40 seconds to make their closing remarks. Abid Rasool Khan, let's start with you. We had Rakesh Sinha saying that when you bring religion into economics, it is the final form of communalism. 30 seconds, everybody. Abid Rasool, please.
I would like to say this, that when a community who is economically backward and as made out by so many reports, is demanding an equal playing field in the monetary matters, it's not communal. It is a matter of their survival. It is a matter of their family's survival. So, and there's nothing wrong in demanding what is legitimately theirs. This money is theirs in the bank, and they are demanding that it be given to them for their daily use. The fact remains that in this country today, the money is available only with the BJP leaders and hawala operators and nobody else.
No. Okay. BJP can respond to that. BJP can respond to that. Professor Oman, you were wanting to make a point, then Asad Owaisi. Professor Oman.
I was wanting to tell you, and you did use the word intersectionality in the context of the discussion.
Yes.
It is neither religion nor caste as such. Yeah. Muslims, Christians, and of course Hindus are all divided on caste lines.
Yes.
In our report, the so-called Sacha report, it is very clearly shown that the Muslims are actually divided into three sections based on caste factor.
Yes.
And if you look at that, obviously the lowest of the group, the Arzals, would need more help for social, for financial inclusion as compared with Ashrafs.
Yes.
So the issue is not religion as such, but particular caste clusters within religious community.
Caste and class. Caste and class. We must
absolutely.
Never forget
they go to. At a certain level.
Caste, class, gender, these are the intersections of our conversations around equality. I'll come to you, Rakesh ji. I think that's a very important point. Asad Owaisi, go ahead. Go ahead, your last thought. Sorry, we lost the line to you. Go ahead.
Barkha, may I remind the two BJP spokesperson that please read the yesterday's Hindu report that 3 lakh workers in Zardozi have become, majority of them are Muslims in UP, completely unemployed. You know, may I request the BJP spokesperson that it is high time now. This is a crisis for everyone, especially the Dalits and Muslims. Please ensure you tell your outsourcing agencies to send more cash. Start from the bottom of the society, not from the posh areas. Please do that. You know, you say 50 days, nothing's going to happen 50 days. Thanks to your policy, you have destroyed 70% of informal sector, 50% of white goods sector, and you have destroyed thousands of lives because people in India deal in cash, and majority of them happen to be laborers, Muslims, women, and Dalits.
Okay, Sambit Patra, let's bring you in. I say again, we can disagree on the solution, but we can't disagree on the fact, what the data shows us. We are a deeply unequal country. When a country is deeply unequal, those who are already poor, those who are already on the margins, will go through greater hardship. How can we dispute that, Sambit?
You're absolutely right that we are a country of great inequalities and great divides.
Yes.
And thanks to the Congress rule of 65 years, the Congress in fact created a vote bank which it did not want to come above to a level playing ground, because or else they would have gone beyond the reach of Congress. So naturally, they have to answer that. Secondly, remember, in this remonetization scheme, we have this 25% bond which acts as the Garib Kalyan Yojana, the Pradhan Mantri Garib Kalyan Yojana.
Yes.
And this Yojana does not discriminate between a Muslim Garib and a Hindu Garib,
okay,
a Christian Garib and a Sikh Garib.
Yes.
A Garib of any community, poor of any community, is someone for which this government is working for. As far as creation of level playing ground is concerned, since it was not created even after the nationalization of bank, that's why the requirement of Jan Dhan Yojana, that's why we still had the propensity of opening more than 26 lakh crore accounts and 26 crore accounts, and we are looking forward to open still many more crore accounts. That was the amount of work that should have been done in the yesteryears for the inclusion of the poor Muslims, of the poor Sikhs, of the poor Christians and poor Hindus, which were not done. And lastly, when Mr. Owaisi says that it is only the poor Muslims that the government is targeting, I am reminded of what one of his functionaries said, that if you remove the police for 15 seconds, havoc would break upon the Hindus.
Well, I think that's a fair point too, Asad. There are speeches, one made by your brother that became contentious. It invited a police case. There was also language in the same speech, Asad, that you used, which called the Prime Minister not a fakir, but a tyrant. In fact, I think you used the Urdu word zalim. You did not even use the English word tyrant. Is this language that behoves a debate as serious as demonetization?
Well, Barkha, I don't need to learn language from you or Sampit. If one does not likes my language, then, you know, fantastic.
We all are ignorant, Barkha, anyways.
Right? It's my democratic right.
Barkha is also
right.
ignorant now.
And you talk about language, please remember James, Lingdo, you know, all those language we also remember. Should we run this camps for production. You know, we also remember Haramzada, Ramzada. We also, you know, there are so many things, Sampit, so let us not go into that. We are talking about the effects of your policy, which has destroyed the marginalized section, which has destroyed informal sector. Rise up to the occasion. Owe up this responsibility. You have destroyed India now.
Now, that's a big statement, Asad Owaisi. Destroyed India is a good rhetorical statement. How do you back it up with data? What is your data
he
evidence?
He is trying to destroy India. We are trying to construct India.
Okay. Asad, I have a very specific question for you. The question is, why did you just not say the poor are suffering? Why did you, while I have acknowledged with Professor Uman the intersectionality of our conversations around inequality, some would say you are playing a vote bank card, which has now become a note bank card.
Barkha, everyone, Akali, Sikh politics, Maratha reservation, yes. Patel reservation,
yes.
Jat reservation, you have Yadav politics, you have Punjabi politics. And what is this? Who are these people to stop me from talking about Muslims? I mean, the Hindutva people call me anti-national, secular, liberal people like you call me a threat to secularism. Who are you to stop me from saying
no,
the
no,
right
you are
thing?
Putting words in my mouth.
I am an Indian citizen.
1 minute, Asad.
No, I am an Indian citizen.
Mouth. Yes.
You have objection to my language. You have objection to my asking for cash.
My job is to ask questions of all of you.
Political identity.
My job,
Barkha,
Asad, is to ask questions of the BJP and you and every single person. That's
I
my
know.
Job.
Listen to
my
me,
job
please.
Is to ask questions.
I am not living here
Mr.
because
Owaisi.
Of Barkha Dutt or Sampit
Mr.
Patra.
Mr. Owaisi,
I'm living here
not,
because
of
Indian
we could not. We could not stop Jinnah.
I don't give two hoots about what you other people think. I have a right under constitution. I'll keep saying what I have to say.
No. Let me tell this categorically to Mr. Owaisi.
We could not
stop Jinnah in 1947, but we are not letting you succeed. Remember this, Mr. Owaisi.
Why are we
no second Jinnah in India,
Sambit.
Remember.
Sambit, why are we drawing comparison with Jinnah when speaking to a colleague who's from Parliament? He's a fellow political colleague. That's also...
Colleague?
He's a colleague.
No. I respect him as a colleague. But
yes.
A colleague who uses the word...
And a fellow citizen.
For 15
seconds and a fellow
and
citizen.
What happens to
he
Hindu.
Is a fellow
and
citizen.
And when he brings... He is a fellow citizen. No one is saying he's not a fellow citizen.
So
even Jinnah was a fellow citizen.
Let's
then
not
India was
question
undivided.
Each other's patriotism by bringing Jinnah into this conversation. I say the same to Asad. When I say about language, I say the same to you. We are all Indians here having a conversation. Let's keep it civil. Let's not please question each other's right to an opinion. Rakesh Sinha.
The tragedy of Indian discourse is that individuals are debated, ideas are left out.
Yes.
And here I say that when Mr. T.K. Oman, I have a lot of respect for him, but when T.K. Oman says that Muslim backwardness, he exaggerates the fact. I am giving one data, anybody can dispute it. Out of 6,000 companies listed in Bombay Stock Exchange, 6,000, 4,200 companies are Sharia compliant companies. Can someone tell me how many Dalit companies formed by
there
Dalit.
There is a Dalit Chambers of Commerce
no,
now.
But,
and I think it's a good thing. There is now a
I'm,
Dalit Chambers
I'm
of Commerce. There is
Chandrakant
Prasad
I'm responding. Barkha, let me.
Who talks about
Barkha,
Dalit
me,
identity and
Barkha,
capitalism.
Let me complain. Let me,
we do not react like that.
Barkha,
we do not react
me,
the same way as
I'm
we react
not,
to
I'm not reacting. I'm not reacting. Yes. I'm saying don't exaggerate the fact. Because there is a Dalit Chambers of Commerce
yes.
by Mr. Kamble.
Yeah, Milind
Kamble.
Yes.
He's my friend, Milind
yes.
Kamble.
Yes.
But my question is how many companies have been formed and they are listed? So make a comparison. Second important thing
yes.
is that he also talked about that Arjals are deprived, there is a caste. Yes, there is a caste system in Islam, in Indian Islam. But Arjals like Lal Begi, Julaha, they got reservation under Mandal Commission. So you are either you are suppressing the fact or
okay,
you are ignoring the fact. Second,
sir,
last,
I have to
I have to respond, Mr. Owaisi.
Quickly.
Owaisi,
yeah.
I say that Hawala racketeers, Hawala dealers, there are large number of Hawala dealers in Hyderabad, in other places. Under their pressure, Mr. Owaisi is opposing
no,
the...
What kind
no,
of
yes.
No,
no, yes. No,
big,
he is opposing... No, no, it is under
okay,
their pressure, he is opposing the demonetization.
Okay.
Demonetization is arthik satyagraha. Just like a political satyagraha, this is a arthik satyagraha, economic satyagraha.
Okay.
If
okay.
you are opposing demonetization, in fact, you are trying to protect the Hawala racketeers, protect the black money holders.
Okay. I have just 40 seconds left. Professor Uman, a quick clarification to Rakesh Sinha, and then Asad Owaisi can take the last word. Professor Uman, yes.
You know, I think I am a misfit in this group because they all represent particular political parties and spokespersons of those parties coming and airing their view for the country. Since I do not belong to any party, I don't have to take a position of the kind that they are taking.
Absolutely.
And that is where I think one has to be very careful. We repeatedly said, when you talk about Muslims or Christians or Sikhs, they are not simply religious groups, but they are internally divided based on caste. And therefore, caste ought to be understood as a trans-Hindu phenomenon.
Yes.
The moment you do that, much of this lack of clarity which has been in the studio today will certainly disappear.
Okay, fair point there. Just 20 seconds, Asad Owaisi, closing remarks, please.
Barkha, if the government wants, if Mr. Rakesh Sinha believes that all hawala dealers are Muslims, then I will have to forcibly say that what is Sadhvi Pragya Thakur, Colonel Prohit, are all Sangh Parivar Savarkarites terrorists?
No, let's not go down.
You're not answering my
control
question.
Control your language.
4,200 Sharia compliant companies in Bombay Stock Exchange. Neither Oman nor he is responding.
There is a constitutional responsibility on the BJP government to help the minorities based on empirical data.
Okay.
I still reiterate.
Yes.
Tell your outsourcing agencies to send cash to marginalized areas of Dalits, Muslims and women.
Okay.
That would at least help them.
Okay. We will leave it there. I think there can be no disagreement with the fact that there needs to be greater focus on all marginalized communities. Let's not single out one. We are a deeply unequal country and there should be no shame in actually admitting that and recognizing the fissures and the fault lines of our society without politicizing every conversation as often happens with us. Asad Owaisi, Sambit Patra, Rakesh Sinha, Abid Rasool Khan and Professor T.K. Uman, who very politely sat through a lot of very aggressive political conversations here. Thank you so much, especially for your time on the Buck Stops here.